Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our heart. God, let your word find its place. I know that it'll accomplish what you set it out to do. It'll hit its target. So, Lord, that's what we pray right now, that our hearts will be open, our minds will be open to receive what you have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to see you guys this morning. Welcome to New Life. I'm glad that you're here. We have, as I mentioned before, we have a very special guest with us this morning. His name is Kevin Chapman. Kevin has, he's been a pastor, he's been a church planter. He is currently a missionary to Southeast Asia with his wife Angela, and they have two sons, Kyle and Cade. Cade and Kyle, birth order, you know, you got to get it right, right? So, he's living in California, but he's a Georgia boy, right? So, he's been raised around here. Actually, came up in the youth group with Raina, so she knows Angela and Kevin from way back, and I've known them for a long time too. Kevin served on staff when my dad was pastoring a church in Douglas, Georgia. Kevin served on staff with him there, so I love this family. I appreciate them, but not just because we go a long way back. I love what they're doing right now, and I love the fact that we as a church get a chance to partner with them. And so we've been supporting this ministry now for a couple years, I think, that we have just partnered with them, and things that they have said, hey, this is what we're doing right now. This is the ministries that we've got going on. And he's going to share a little bit about that. So can you guys give a very special welcome to Kevin Chapman?
So good to be here. And let's see, this group is going to see the extroverted side of me. The early group saw the introvert. That's about as introverted as I get. And it wasn't necessarily because I'm an introvert. It was because it was 5:30 in L.A. And I was still shaking the cobwebs off. So I'm awake now. I've had my hot tea and a couple of cups of coffee, so I'm ready to go. Let me say to your pastor and Raina, Kup Chai Lai Lai, all the way from Laos, thank you for allowing me to come and share what we're doing. And to all of you, I greet you. Sabadi from Laos, once again, hello, and just great to be in the room with you. I've got a lot of things that I want to accomplish over the next few moments, and I'm going to take about probably 29 more minutes of your time, and we're going to do about 15 talking about the projects we're doing and about 14 or 15 on the good life. How many are living the good life? Amen? Are you living it? Are you being the attitude of Christ? Are you having that attitude of Christ? Well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, and I want to talk to you for a moment. Now, if you're a note taker, this would be something that you're going to have to take some notes really, really quick, because we're going to talk about handling opposition to your faith. Most likely, at least one or two of you have been persecuted in some form or fashion for being a faithful Christian on some level in some capacity. Sometimes it comes within the family unit. Sometimes it comes within the career that you've chosen. Nevertheless, you have, in some form or fashion, experienced a level of harassment or persecution or suffering for your faith. By nature, I don't like to suffer. I don't know how many of you, and this attitude that we're going to talk about today has to do with persecuting for doing the right things. I never signed up to get my nose broke. I just haven't. I don't like those kind of things. Some of you may be into that on the weekends. Not me. Don't like to be hit in the nose. Don't like to fight. Would rather get along. But there is a tension in the gospel that he has called us to be peacemakers, but also troublemakers. And we have to see this. Now look, I didn't say he called you to be a jerk or obnoxious, but he called you to stand up for what is right. And sometimes for doing the right things, you will be harassed for your faith. So I've got three things that I want to share with you, and then six quick things for you to remember, two statements of Jesus, and then a couple of things that you can do for your church and community. Handling opposition to your faith. On the screen, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10. If you're comfortable, would you read this with me? Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I want to do the right stuff, don't you? I want to do the right stuff. I want to be involved in the kingdom work, and I want to do the right stuff. There's a passage of scripture in Hebrews chapter 13 and 3, because this whole thing about being persecuted for the gospel is something that may be foreign to some of you, wanted by none of you. But the writer of Hebrews says this: remember those in prison. Remember those in prison as if you were there yourself. All right? And then the writer goes on to say, remember also those being mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own bodies. I would say all of us have felt mistreated one time or another in our life. Mistreated. Maybe few of us have felt like we were mistreated because of the gospel. The mistreatment that I have probably felt most in my life is putting a pickle on a burger when I ordered it without. That's about the level of suffering that we're talking about, right? In 2 Timothy 3 and 12, yes, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Another translation reads it this way: in fact, anyone who belongs to Christ Jesus and wants to live right will have trouble from others. Will have trouble from others. Listen, I already told you, I don't like trouble from others. I don't like to experience suffering. However, I work in a part of the world where they see trouble, affliction, persecution every day of their life for doing what the gospel says to do. Three things very quickly to remember when you are pressured. When you are pressured for your faith, I want to give you three things to remember. Number one, when you face opposition, always remember that it can make you more like Jesus. You want to be like Jesus? There was an old song that we used to sing in the church. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, that's all I want. To be like him all through life's journey, from earth to glory, to be like. We say those things, but in order to be like him, we have to suffer like him. I told the first service a story. I had a friend who lost a couple $1 million with some legal issues and some things that happened. And he came to me and he asked me, he said, what would you recommend I do now? And I said, suffer well. There are times in our life that we have to learn to suffer well in spite of the circumstances. Because when we do this right here, opposition can make you more like Jesus. We are never as much like Jesus as when we learn to suffer well. There's a second one. Opposition. When you face opposition, persecution, it's going to deepen your faith in Christ. It's not only going to deepen your faith in Christ as a family unit, your intimacy that you have with your children when you go through something and you go through it, it's going to deepen your faith as a family, with your spouse, with your parents. Opposition will deepen your faith. And lastly, opposition will give you eternal rewards. Hey, listen, and I'll share with you, there are people that you will never meet on this side of earth. But in heaven, you will meet, and you will have a reward in heaven because of your participation in kingdom work all over the world. So I honor you for that. Now, I said that I would give you six quick things for you to remember whenever suffering and harassment comes into your life. So I'm going to give you six quick things, and I'll give you this scripture reference. Here they are. Don't be surprised. Number one, don't be surprised when you go through something. Don't be surprised when you have harassment in your faith. Don't be surprised. Number two, don't be afraid. I've been in some sticky stuff, sitting in the back of cabs and have law enforcement in Southeast Asia pull us over and thinking, okay, what's going to happen for the next few moments? Number three, don't be ashamed. Number four, recognize the source of the opposition, refuse to retaliate, and number six, respond with a blessing. Now, Jesus has a whole lot to say about suffering and persecution. He says a whole lot about it. And I would say he had a PhD in suffering. He went through a lot Listen to what he says. If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of his Father and his holy angels. Don't be ashamed. Follow him passionately. And the second thing he says, if you refuse to take up your cross, if you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. You're not worthy of being mine. Now, it is most likely that most of you will not feel an intense amount of pressure for having a faith in Christ. But it is probable that if you open your Bible at work, somebody may lift an eyebrow. It is probable if you serve passionately in your church, someone might say, why are you giving your time to that institution? If you support it with your giving of your time and your talent and your treasure, someone may question the motives of the church. So there's this persecution that we all face, even here in the States, for serving Jesus Christ and working and laboring together for the cause and the purpose that Christ has here on earth. I would encourage you, get engaged, read your Bible, find a small group, be baptized, share your faith, and join the efforts of this church community. On your screen, you're going to see a few pictures of what we're doing in Southeast Asia. As Pastor Ryan mentioned to you, for the last 3 years, you have been participating. For the past 10, 12 years, I have been going to Southeast Asia, where we began in the country of Kingdom of Cambodia, and recently transitioned, and we are serving in Asia Pacific. I was here July 31st, 2022, and we were on the cusp of going to a small country by the name of Kiribati or Kiribati. Kiribati hangs out in the Asia Pacific north of New Zealand, just way out. The Battle of Tarawa took place there, if you know anything about some U.S. history, the Battle of Tarawa. And we went there and we served. Since then, it has been crazy wild of what we're doing, and I want to share a few things with you. If you look at this first picture, this is a home that we had the privilege of having dinner in, and this is a husband and wife. He pastors a church. He actually has about a dozen churches that he is over. And Pastor Kenneth, you'll see him, we'll introduce him by video in just a moment. He, this is his home, and a few of these girls have been rescued, and then the boys are actually some of his sons. But this is in Luang Prabang, which is north of Vientiane, the capital of Laos, on your way to China. So if you don't know where Laos is, it's it's kind of like a fair piece from Richmond Hill. It's far. It kind of hangs out between Thailand and China right there. That's where Laos is, and that's where we've been serving. Look at the next slide. These are some girls that have been rescued. Now, this is a picture that if you follow us on any social media, you'll see us use, because on social media, we can't show their faces, but we can show these. These girls are from the province of Luang Prabang, and they have been rescued. One of the young girls pictured, you can't see her face, we found when she had been assaulted by five different men. There is a main truck route that runs all the way down from China into Luang Prabang, and there is what we call these makeshift gas stations, and they're brothels, and these young girls often hang out there because mom and dad want to make some money, and so they exchange their children for a little bit of money and earthly security. She had been assaulted by five, been drugged, and we found her and rescued her, and thankfully she is now in a safe place. Look at the next slide, just another picture of the young girls, and I think the next one is actually of their faces that you'll get to see that we're not able to show on social media. Look at this next picture. These are real humans. These are humans that we sat and I had ate mangoes with, and we had dinner together. These are real humans. They have a story. They're not some fictional character distant way off. These are young girls. More than half of them now love Jesus and are followers of Jesus. The other half are trying to figure this out. And I think it's perfectly okay, girls that have been traumatized by this, to take some time and figure this thing out. Having faith in something that is authoritative to these young girls is something they're trying to work through. So we do everything from get them appropriate therapy to education to school to clothing to church. Look at the next slide. Oh, we just, in March, we were able to go. These young girls are from Thailand. And in fact, I would tell you, if you ever want a crazy, crazy, cool trip, go with us and take these girls to the mall. And if you'll give them, listen to me, I'm not kidding you, if you'll give them about $100, maybe 2,500 baht, you give them about $100, they'll get lost for about 10 hours in a mall. We were sitting there at this pizza place, and we were trying to decide. We had had pizza and just talking back and forth, and we knew we were going to give them a couple hundred dollars. What we didn't know is how we were going to go about it. And so in my wisdom, Ryan, I just looked at my two business guys that were with me, and I said, look, we can follow them, or we can give them, and they can go. And the Bible said train up a child in the way they should go. So we gave them about $150-$200, and they went. They bought dresses, they bought shoes, because the dollar goes a lot further. We met back up at an arcade. They love it. These are actually girls that I could take you to their home. Amazing home there in Thailand that we have. The other girls were in Laos. The next slide just gives a list of projects, and Pastor Ryan will tell you more about that. I want to show you a video. In the video, you're actually going to hear in the background the voices of the girls, of the faces you were able to see. They are singing, man, this gets me. They're singing Goodness of God. And I'm like, let me figure this out. All my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. And when our auto insurance goes up, we question the goodness of God. You feel me? And here's these girls. You'll hear their little voices. We didn't record the faces because we want to use it for social media as well. You'll hear their voices in the background. I'll walk you through the video, and then I'll come back and close us out with a few things and hand the service over to your pastor. Watch this video. This is Luang Prabang. This is a church that the South Koreans had actually built in a small mountain village. We were there giving away about 3,000 pounds of food, maybe 2,500 pounds of food. So this is like Sam's Club or Costco. So we're giving away suckers is what we're giving away right here. Now watch this little kid come up. He'll bow. Say, Cup Chalalai, thank you. And this is one of our rescue homes in Laos. You could hear their voices. Their voices now of freedom, of joy in Christ. And they have a family that have been rescued. So we have one variable of managing these homes. Because we have about 50 girls over three different homes that we manage and we sustain. Provide them clothing and education. One of them is coming to the U.S. Young girls that are back in this time. So if everything finalizes with her academic visa, she'll be coming to the States. So these are stories of real people with real hurts. I was asking Pastor Kenneth about his home, and I said, Kenneth, where's the high school? He said, oh, short walk, Pastor. And I said, how far did they walk? He said, about 6 miles. Get up at 4, they go to school. Look, I'm not that old trying to tell a story, you know, up in the snow and all of that kind of stuff. They walk 6 miles. One of the guys asked him, he said, Kenneth, what if it's raining? He said, oh, no problem. They wear their flip-flops, and then they put their good shoes on when they get to the schoolhouse. Because for them to be able to walk to school 6 miles and have freedom is an amazing gift from God. Was in Luangpabang, and Kenneth said, can I show you where we rescue the girls from? And I said, sure. So we got into the van. My two friends stayed in the van, and him and I walked in. It looked like an old gas station with lunch tables. And if you could imagine, 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old girls sitting around tables with cell phones. I walk in. Whole room stands up. All right, they stand up. I gotta tell you this part, because it's one of those parts where growing up in I graduated Effingham County High School, I don't have a lot of rednecks left. I live in LA, but I got a little, and that testosterone, and it was starting to kill, and I'm like, oh, what do we got going on here? And so these Laotian guys comes over, grabs me by the says, hey, American, do you want her to speak for you? And I thought for a moment, what am I going to say to this guy except I want you to let go of my arm? And I thought, I got to get out of here because we're going to throw something and I may lose, but I'm going to go down throwing. The fact is, I can't rescue them all. You can't rescue them all, but you got a lot of churches that are out there helping us. And Pastor, I just ask you to participate with us while we're here. Managing, loving, leading, discipling, and hopefully as we buy more property, able to expand and rescue more. So many opportunities from feed the hungry, clothing the poor, that we can do together. Now, let me share something with you, and then I want to pray for you and turn it over to the pastor. God loves you. How many knows that? I want you to feel that. God really loves me. Amen. But God also loved, according to the book of Jonah, the Ninevites. And sometimes that's hard for me to put my head around because I can get that that God loves Cade, my oldest, that God loves Kyle, and that God loves Angela on the weekends when she's a good girl. No, I'm kidding. That God loves my wife. But sometimes I have a hard time putting my head around this concept that God can love the enemy as well. He is such a good God and a gracious God that God not only loves you right here in the sanctuary, but God loves them. And I'm asking you, help me help them. Lord, from this time together, I'm sure that there'll be some generosity to flow, and we'll extend grace and mercy to people that we may never meet. Or there may be an open door that there is someone here that will say, I want to go. They'll be able to go see the beauty of God's grace and how He's working in the lives of people and Laos. Now, Lord, I want to thank you for this church. I want to thank you for your pastor, your pastor's family. I pray blessings upon them. I pray blessings upon all the leadership. And I want to thank you that all my life you have been faithful. And yes, even in times of pain of these young girls' life, you were faithful to them. And many in this room are going through things that we're trying to figure out the faithfulness of God in the middle of it. But I just want to give them confidence to know and to believe that God is faithful no matter the fire that they're walking through, the cancer they're battling, the job loss they're suffering. It does not eliminate the truth that God is good and He's good all the time. We praise you for that in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all the people of God said, amen. Would you give the Lord just an ovation of praise? God bless you.